Hi, I'm Willis Kern. Thanks for choosing Sound Money on GLT, and thanks for listening to the Sound Money Podcast.
Support for GLT comes from Justin M. Boyd, financial representative at Country Financial, offering clients a one-on-one experience to meet all of their financial and insurance needs. Auto, home, life, business, and retirement options. More at facebook.com/JustinBoydCountry. This is GLT.
Vacations, holiday shopping, or just plain overindulgence can cause credit card balances to swell quickly. There are some things to know before you set out to chip away at that hefty debt. Edgar Norton, professor of finance at Illinois State University, joins us. We're told it's best to tackle unsecured debt, which means it's not tied to a property, lien, or asset. Why is it best to do that, Edgar?
Because the secured debt, like your mortgage or your car loan, usually has a lower interest rate because there is an asset backing it up that, if worse comes to worse, the bank or lending company can always take the asset. Whereas with unsecured debt, it's just you and your character and your ability to pay off the debt on time. And that's a riskier proposition. And so they'll have higher interest rates on that. They will charge higher interest rates on that kind of debt.
So the bottom line is you want to try and pay off the higher rates first.
There's a couple philosophies out there. One is to, get rid of the high-cost debt and kind of whittle it down. And as that's paid off, that allows you to free up some dollars to pay off other debts that you have, and you kind of work your way down the ladder from high interest rate to low interest rate. Other folks would say, go for a small gain, kind of like you're trying to lose weight. If you try to lose 50 pounds, you'll never get there. But if you lose 2 pounds at a time, and that'll give you an incentive to keep on going on. Same thing with chipping off debt. Maybe go for a small balance, smallest credit card balance. Once that's out of the way, you feel good about it, and then you go for the next smallest balance, and you chip away. And use the freed up funds when one credit card is paid off to pay off the next credit card.
And unfortunately, making that minimum monthly payment doesn't really do the trick, does it?
It's a great thing for the credit card company. Sure, make that minimum payment because they have to make money. They have to pay their bills too.
And basically, that's what you're doing. If you're financing their...
That's right. In my classes, I say you should be your own bankers. Save up money yourself and let yourself earn interest rather than going into debt and paying interest all the time to the credit card company. That's how, they make some money when you do the transaction at the cash register, but how they make their big bucks is on the interest charges.
Okay, so we have our credit cards. Let's say we have three of them. One of them is Visa with a 15% interest rate, and we also have a MasterCard at 18% and then a Discover at 23%. So conventional wisdom says you start paying off Discover first, right?
If you believe, it depends on how big that balance is. I myself would say, let's go with the big interest rate and knock that off because I don't want to pay that kind of interest rate. But again, if it's a small balance, there are some folks who might say, pay off that small balance first, give yourself a treat, and then go on and start paying off the next big balance.
What about moving the higher interest rate cards into new cards or some kind of a loan that has a lower rate? What's wrong with that?
That's a strategy that's popular to use a zero balance transfer. There are credit cards. You get a credit card and have a 0% balance, a 0% interest rate for like 6 months. And so, transfer your high interest rate debt to the 0% card. The trouble is, after 6 months, bingo, you're back up to a high interest rate. And so that could work if you're disciplined enough to be able to pay that off within that zero balance time frame. That might be tough for a lot of folks. And plus, if I keep on opening up these new credit cards with 0% balance and keep on transferring balances, that's going to hit my FICO credit score. That's going to be a negative on my credit score, and that might end up hurting me over time if I can't get a hold of the debt. And if I can't control my budget to get a handle on the debt. The other possibility is if I'm lucky enough to own a home and I have some equity in the home to get a home equity loan. Yeah, as we mentioned before, those are usually lower interest rate. And so if I can consolidate my credit card debt into a home equity loan, that may help to help my budget, and that might help to lower my interest charges. But now again, I'm increasing my debt load on my house, and if for some reason I can't pay off that extra debt, I'm now looking at another foreclosure situation.
Or somebody else who doesn't have a lot of income coming in, maybe they don't have a mortgage, they're renting or something, but they do have a job and they are paying retirement. Is it wise to maybe take some of their retirement out until they get their credit card settled a little?
No.
No.
Again, people with their backs against the wall, there's always exceptions. But as a general rule, you want to keep that retirement money in there. You want to keep on making those contributions. You want to keep that money compounding because the analysis shows you really lose a lot. If I skip a year of retirement contributions to pay off some debt, that's a year I'll never I'll never catch up to, and that's lost return I'll never catch up to. You only retire once. What you need to do is get your budget under control and do what you can to keep on making those retirement contributions and pay off that debt. There's so many other ways, some low-hanging fruit where you can adjust your budget. For most people, I can't make a blanket statement there, but most people have some low-hanging fruit where they can reduce their spending and
for
apply
instance,
that.
What would be an example of some low-hanging fruit most people would have access to?
Well, back in the old days, I had a landline phone in my house, and that was it. I watched the channels on a TV through a TV antenna, and if I wanted to use a computer or do the internet, I would go to work or some other location, and so... Oh, no, give up your cell phone. I know many people are under a contract, but once that contract ends, you really need to keep on paying that $100 a month for a cell phone and a cable TV. You know, how often did you really watch it, and is that a necessary expense? Can you get most of your news and programming off the air? I mean, this is for someone who needs to get their budget under control, and they're spending too much, and so, okay, here's some easy things you can do. Wi-Fi, a lot of free Wi-Fi places here. You don't really need to pay for the cable modem or the DSL network to your home.
Yeah, why does the number of cards you have impact your credit score? What's going on with that thinking?
In a couple ways, the more cards you have may actually be a ding because it shows you can borrow all this money in a short period of time. But something else that affects your credit scores is the unborrowed balance, which is a good thing. If I have a card with a $10,000 credit limit, let's say, and I only have a $1,000 balance, that's a good thing. That, in some ways, that shows I'm not up to my eyeballs in debt. The bad news is I have $9,000 of borrowing I can tap in the next week, and before I know it, ouch.
So you mentioned the word discipline earlier. That's really what this is all about, right? Being disciplined to control your spending and being able to come up with creative ways to get out of debt.
Indeed. For many people, it's getting the spending under control. There are some folks, however, who, life has dealt them an unfortunate hand. Maybe it's as health care costs and to pay their living expenses, they need to whip out the plastic and pay the bills, or they need a $4,000 engine replacement in their car, or a divorce situation, and now suddenly they find themselves, floundering with the finances. And so there are some unfortunate situations, but there's also a lot of situations where we just dug ourselves into a hole and we need to better control our spending and start living below our means.
Edgar Norton is professor of finance at Illinois State University. Thanks for stopping by, Edgar.
You're welcome, Willis.
I'm Willis Kern.